Hi, my name is Ben Riga. I'm a platform advisor on the Windows Azure Platform Evangelism team. And this week we're spending some time with a bunch of partners and customers here in Building 20, going through a deep dive of their solutions, helping them accelerate some of their development. We've met with a number of partners already, and right now we're talking to a company called Thuzi.com, and with me is Jim Zimmerman, who is the Chief Technology Officer as well as lead developer. He likes to keep his hands in the code. So Jim, tell me a little bit about Thuzi and what it is that that you guys do.
Well, we specialize in social media marketing. One of the things we're really focusing on right now is building Facebook apps,
right,
for enterprise type clients and for their marketing campaigns, and also for applications that will live on inside of Facebook, so they can interact with their customers better.
Right. So the apps you're building are Facebook apps.
Mm-hmm.
And Facebook apps they're not actually hosted on Facebook.com.
No, they're not.
Right. So you're hosting those apps on?
On Azure.
Exactly.
Yep.
And that's why we're here.
Exactly.
Right?
Yep.
So actually probably the best way to explain this, because I've tried to explain this to people, the only way to explain it to actually show them. So why don't we dive in and show me one that you've been working on,
okay. Which
is pretty interesting. I can't wait till this one launches.
Okay. Quit asking me that.
All right. So this is Outback Steakhouse.
Yeah, it's Outback Steakhouse.
Now, this is not, as we are filming this is not live. So we're actually running in a staging environment, I assume, or a testing environment?
Yes, this is a staging environment. In fact, if you see my user in Facebook is Jimbo Tester.
So okay, got it.
One thing that's funny about testing in Facebook is you have to have fake accounts.
Right.
Otherwise, you could accidentally viral your staging app.
Right. Yeah, you don't want that.
You have to be very careful.
Sure.
So we'll go ahead and make sure that that I'm actually still logged into Facebook.
So
here.
Jimbo Tester.
Yeah.
Okay. So here we're talking about Outback Steakhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's the idea? Why does Outback Steakhouse want to be on Facebook?
Okay. Well, there's really multiple reasons, but the main reason is so that they can communicate to their customers. Instead of just email, they can message them through their fan page. Okay. So, Facebook has these fan pages where if you become a fan of that fan page,
mm-hmm.
if they go ahead and type a message for the day, it shows up on everybody's wall.
Sure.
In Facebook, so it's an easier way to communicate to different different people that use Facebook all the time.
Sure. And I know that certainly for my daughter, for instance, spends all her time mm-hmm. in Facebook, very little time in email, which is very different.
Yeah, so is my name.
Exactly. So it makes sense that Outback actually goes where their customers are,
yeah.
where their fans are in this case.
Yeah.
So what is this campaign that you're working on? How does this work?
Okay, so we're, they are giving away 500,000 Bloomin' Onions.
Cool.
Yeah. So.
Fried onions. What more can you? I can't wait for this to start.
Yeah. So the whole idea of it is, you become a fan
uh-huh.
of Outback Steakhouse, and
uh-huh.
then, as I'll show you here in a minute, you go through, you fill out a form, pick your favorite location.
Let's do it.
Why don't
we do it?
I am a test user, Facebook makes you go through these security checks.
Right.
Now, and your typical user is not going to see this type of stuff, only because I am a new user, they make sure I'm not a robot.
Right.
Right. So let's hope I get the capture right on the first time.
Right.
Which I did. Good. Okay, so now that I'm a fan, now I can enter in. So to get my free Bloomin' Onion, go ahead and click here.
So the idea here would be that one of your friends had invited you to become a fan of this, or somehow it's going to get seeded and then it goes viral.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll show you how that works here
okay.
towards the end.
Okay,
but,
let's do that.
But yeah, anyway, to preface that, I would have landed on that page either from a message, like I was already kind of a fan of Outback, and
uh-huh.
I saw, hey, they're giving away free Bloomin' Onions, or a friend invited me, or
right.
I saw it on someone else's wall that they got a free Bloomin' Onion.
Or maybe advertising.
The advertising, that'll obviously be part of the Facebook campaign, too.
Right.
So here I get to allow access. This basically allows the application to get information about you so that they know who you are
mm-hmm.
and that you are who you say you are. So you're
right.
like robot and
right.
things like that. So as you can see, it automatically filled out my first name. Notice how it didn't fill out the email address or zip code because Facebook doesn't provide those to us.
Doesn't share that.
For obvious reasons, privacy reasons and
right.
things like that. So, I'll go ahead and type in my email. Okay. And you have to be 18 or older. So if you were under 18, you would actually see a different screen that says you can't participate. Sorry. So I'll go ahead and type in my zip code. And then I can, you know, say how often I, you know, visit Outback Steakhouse.
Right.
So I'll go ahead and hit submit there. And you'll notice that it real quickly returned a list of stores that are within 50-mile radius of my zip code.
Wow.
So this actually happens to be the store that's right by my house. So I pick that, and then I'll go ahead and do that. Now what just happened was, it kind of in the back end of things, that just went to, that just went to the back end and now fired off an email.
Mm-hmm.
Called it a separate web service that then fired off an email that then will have the coupon in there.
Oh, okay.
So
the coupon to get that free Bloomin' Onion.
Yeah,
the next time I go to it. Yeah,
it's all electronic, so it'll print.
Right.
And it'll actually print the store that you picked.
Right.
So it's good at that store.
Right.
So it helps Outback control
where,
you know, where it goes, and they can look at it later.
So I assume there's all sorts of analytics behind this. Where,
yes.
So they can see where which stores are. Okay.
Yes. And they, you know, they'll be able to see, okay, well, we gave 20,000 Bloomin' Onions to the store.
Right.
You know, and so they can see where they're, you know, where their Facebook users are.
And then can they see when those Bloomin' Onions get redeemed?
Yeah. In fact, they have a barcode.
Wow.
That's printed on the coupon.
Wow.
And then they'll be able to cross-reference it later. So they'll actually be able to see from beginning a fan to coming into the store and actually using the coupon.
Wow, that's
so
awesome info for a marketer, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's very neat how they're doing it. Sorry.
That's okay. That's Camtasia there.
Yeah, right? Camtasia.
Yeah, that's all right.
Okay, so here we ask the person if they want to go ahead and publish a story to their wall to let their friends know that there's free Bloomin' Onions.
Uh-huh.
They can skip it if they want, but I'm going to go ahead and publish it.
So that's now taking this message and a little image.
Yeah, and I'll show you where it shows up on the wall here.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so I just posted that to my wall. And here, here's some of my fake test friends.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so I'm going to go ahead and invite some of them. So this basically sends them an invitation like this that says, hey, you know, get a free Bloomin' Onion. And when they click that, it lands them back on the fan page.
And so they then get to add that application as well?
And then they go through the same process that you just saw me
right.
go through. Okay. So
you can see where that would be very viral, right?
Yes.
So if I start inviting my 10 friends and they invite 10 friends and they invite 10 friends.
Exactly.
That
and then you get the other side of the viral, which is I just posted it to my wall.
Right.
So my 180 friends just saw that.
Right.
Maybe I didn't invite them. But
right.
They just saw, oh, wow, Jim's got a free Bloomin' Onion.
Right.
So I'm going to go ahead and send that. So that just sends an invitation.
That goes as a private message then to my Facebook account? To that
it actually goes as an application request.
Oh, okay.
Or application invitation.
Right.
That's what it's called.
Right.
And then while that happened, we just tracked who you send it to so that we can see, you know, from a marketing perspective, how many people are actually inviting their friends to
mm-hmm.
Bloomin' Onion. Maybe it's none.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, we hope it's not. So, so anyway, I land here, and then now I can click to go driving directions to my favorite store, online ordering to that, and
mm-hmm.
then the dinner menu. And
okay.
then these pop open in new windows.
Right.
Right. So.
So let's take a quick look at the profile. But I'd really love to know what's going on behind the scenes and how you're taking advantage of Azure. I assume that this frame here, this Outback Steakhouse
mm-hmm.
frame, that's all hosted somewhere.
Yeah, it's basically an iframe.
Right.
So it's a web app running inside of Facebook, and that web app is running from Azure.
Right.
Okay.
Awesome.
So, and then so you can here you can see this is what I just posted to my wall. So this is what other people see on my wall.
So anytime, and also in my stream.
Yeah, in your stream you'll see.
So
it.
It'll go into my homepage. Anyone that's following me, or
yeah.
is my friend, will see
yeah.
that in their stream.
Exactly.
Pretty slick.
Yeah. And then so then they can click here, visit Outback Steakhouse, and then it'll
and
take.
And starts the cycle.
Starts.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah.
So this is as of today. We're middle of October. It's not live yet.
No,
it's
going to
be live
until next week.
And so I can imagine where Outback wants to make sure that if they start this campaign, that they can handle that load.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so how do they do that? So how do you control the scale?
Okay. Well,
again, if you get 10 friends telling 10 friends telling 10
mm-hmm.
friends, I mean, that explodes out very quickly.
Yes, it does.
So how do you control that?
Well, how we're controlling is with having multiple instances running at the same time in Azure. And then as we're monitoring the viral, we will increase instances as we need. And then after the campaign's over, it's never really officially over until all the onions are given away, but as we start to
sure.
see it go down,
sure.
You know, we can, you know, turn down the instances.
Sure.
Need. So,
you can
we'll probably just keep them up.
So when you start, you have a certain level, I'm sure, that you expect to be using.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not using that level, you can, you know, if your code is so efficient,
yeah,
that it can handle those millions of users, right? I mean, in theory, I mean, we're talking potentially millions of people hitting that page, that, yeah, web page, and that,
mm-hmm,
web form,
mm-hmm,
and that triggering, I'm sure there's all sorts of workflow behind that's,
yes,
that's happening.
And there's a lot more than you would think. You know, it's not just that form. It's, you know, looking up the closest stores to you and then finding out if you're under 18.
So let's talk about that. So you have this web page,
mm-hmm,
and at first glance it's like, oh, okay, it was just a web form. I hit submit, that gets posted somewhere in a database, and
yeah,
anybody can do that,
yeah,
right?
So like a contact form,
it's
right?
Probably not that easy. I'm hoping it's not that easy.
No. at times I wish it was that,
yeah,
easy.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, you know, we're persisting the data in a table storage because that's at first, because that's the way that we can scale this thing real quick at first.
So here we're talking about Windows Azure table,
yes,
storage,
yes,
not SQL Azure. So it's Windows Azure table storage.
Yeah, Windows Azure table storage.
So can we see that?
In fact, I use an open source project that you can find on CodePlex called Azure Storage Explorer.
Uh-huh.
And you can pick your storage account. So I have my local, I have a staging, I have another staging.
Sure.
If we go here, these are my six tables I have, contact,
uh-huh,
and you can see the rest of them there.
Uh-huh.
Contact is where my data just went. So I'm going to go ahead and hit refresh here. And
so that data that we just entered, that Jim, what was it, Jimbo Tester? Or,
yeah.
Is in here somewhere.
Yep.
So how do we see that?
Well, here, what we're doing here is I just refreshed let's make sure I actually.
Maybe it's already fresh.
Yeah, I think I, yeah, there it goes.
Okay.
So if we go through, okay, there we go. So there's my information that we just put in.
So that all that information is just an XML representation of all that data that we entered,
exactly,
into that form.
This is coming from table storage.
Okay.
So
what happens to that? That data gets stored in Windows Storage.
Yep, it gets stored in Windows Storage. Then we, after we store it in Windows Storage, we go ahead and throw it into a contact queue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, if we see here, the contact queue is empty because what just happened was as soon as we add that data to the queue,
mm-hmm,
we have a worker role that basically is listening for new messages on the queue, grabs it, and then sends it off to a web service to Outback's data company that,
mm-hmm,
then handles the email.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, make sure that the email is sent out and all that. And then, actually a little bit more complicated, what it does end up happening is if that email bounces,
mm-hmm,
we have another worker role that's calling back to that data service and asking, hey, did anything bounce? Oh, something bounced. Okay, who did it bounce for? Oh, is this Facebook ID? Okay. And then we send a notification right to that Facebook user saying, hey, your email.
Facebook notification.
Yeah, Facebook
so
notification.
So that's the little flag in the bottom right-hand corner.
Bottom right, yeah.
Okay, so
then
so
we say, hey,
cool.
we weren't able to deliver your coupon. Click here and give us your email again, or a different email to make sure that we can get that coupon.
That's cool. So customer satisfaction issue,
yeah,
right?
So we don't have a bunch of people writing on the wall, hey, I never got my coupon.
Yeah.
So we're trying to mitigate
entered my data but never got my coupon.
Yeah, exactly.
And so this way you say, hey, we would love to send you that coupon.
Yeah.
Please tell us what your email address is. Yeah.
Yeah, we're really trying to get it there.
Yeah.
Trust us.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So you've got a couple worker roles there.
Yes.
And those worker roles are sending data. One of them is sending, using a web service, I assume, out to this.
Yeah, we're calling a web service to the external data company.
Uh-huh.
And then we're also persisting the data to SQL Azure.
So that external data company is, mm-hmm, the one that sends the email?
Yes.
I see.
It's
okay.
their company that does all their email campaigns.
Right.
So,
so they can,
with a company like this,
it.
We're not going to just send email from our server.
Yeah, of course.
It's got to come from there. So,
sure. They've got all the peering relationships,
yeah,
and stuff,
exactly,
doesn't get bounced,
yeah, so it doesn't get bounced
junk
as
mail
much.
And,
yeah,
stuff. Sure.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then we take that data and also put it in SQL Azure.
Oh, okay. So so you have it in Windows Azure. Windows Azure tables.
Table storage.
Now you move it into SQL Azure.
Yeah.
So why are you
so
using
we
both?
Can do we can do better reporting off of SQL Azure.
So why not put it all in SQL Azure?
Because when you're to handle the load, it's easier and it's more scalable to go ahead and persist it to table storage at first,
right?
Because you can partition it,
right,
very quickly, and the load it just you can load a lot.
Sure. And in the case of this, where you could go viral very quickly,
mm-hmm,
where you could have a million people hitting it in a day,
yep,
you need to be able to handle that and scale up that storage,
yep,
the compute power, like we talked about earlier, but also the storage.
Yep. Exactly.
So I understand that. That's why Windows Azure Tables is useful. What do you use the SQL Azure for then?
Well, with table storage, you can't really put indexes on things. Right. You can't do complicated reports without a lot of extra work. So when we put it in SQL Azure, that allows us to use, you know, porting services and different things that we can do that we're very used to doing with SQL that just make it very easy for us to supply reports to our customer. Mm-hmm. And they're a lot easier to kind of do joins with other data and, you know, kind of statistical analysis of like what was the age group.
So analytics, sounds like. So being able to look at the data, slice it and dice it, do pivots and so on.
Yeah, and also we're not touching the same database that's actually, you know, when people are inserting their data into the table storage, we're not touching that.
So it's a data warehouse.
Yeah, it's a data warehouse.
Okay, keeping the marketing guys happy.
Yeah.
That's good. The marketing guys are good. Yeah. We like that. What have you learned? I mean, obviously, you jumped on the Windows Azure platform bandwagon pretty early. Mm-hmm. So, what were some of the, you've been working on this for a while? What are some of the things that you've learned as you've progressed?
Well, I've learned that it's hard to report on Azure Table Storage, right? So that was one of the first things I learned. But what I also learned that was kind of neat was kind of how you scale things, you know, without using a database, right? And it makes you think in terms of like, well, wow, this is kind of what SQL Server is doing, you know, when they're indexing things. So, like if we want to index a flag of some sort with the contact, then we create another table. And, you know, at first it seems awkward, but after you do it, you're like, oh, wow, this is kind of what SQL Server is doing behind the scenes.
Right,
so you kind of understand how that works, and it's kind of neat because now you feel like, well, I can scale anything, really now, because as long as you follow, you know, some good practices with how you partition your data and stuff like that, you really could, you know, scale to hundreds of millions of rows and not have any performance problems with Azure Table Storage. And then when you have these worker roles kind of working in the background, sending data to the data warehouse, now the data warehouse app's going to run really fast too.
Yeah.
So now you kind of have the best of both worlds.
Sweet.
And, you know, it's a little extra work, but the end product's a lot better.
Right. Things. Right. Yeah. Cool. So what are the plans with this? I mean, obviously, the Outback, as you mentioned earlier, is going to go live in a week or so.
Yeah, next week.
And then I know you can't talk about the other ones, but I know this is not just one.
Yeah, this is not just one. In fact, we're building a Facebook framework that's going to run inside of Azure.
Right.
A kind of more of a generic framework that we can throw these apps into.
So you'll be doing more of these for other
and
customers.
We have a couple, I don't want to say similar apps, but they're the kind of apps that go like this.
Sure.
They have a marketing lifespan and then kind of go steady afterwards.
Right.
So,
right.
So yeah, I mean, it's pretty fun to write it.
So, I mean, I guess the big benefit is that you were able to get this. You have a scalable data center without having to go out and do all this, spend all this cash to
And don't have to manage the servers.
Right.
I mean, that's...
So what does that
mean? I mean, I know it's about money, too, but now I don't have to manage the servers. And, you know, I do manage the instances and, you know, make sure everything's running smooth, but I don't have to go buy more hardware if I want to increase it to 20 instances because we're having a lot of load.
Right.
You know, so that's, you know, that's the big win.
And if you do have a lot of load, how long does it take you to add instances?
About 2 minutes.
Right. Yeah, that's the right answer.
Yeah, it's really easy.
That's what you need.
In fact, you know, eventually we'll have it so it auto-adds, right, with the management APIs and some things.
So you're doing that now with monitoring and setting up scripts and so on that will automatically scale up and scale down, I guess.
Yeah, that's what we're working on.
Right. So you'll keep those servers running at 100%.
Well, you know, I maybe over time after we get used to it, but at first I don't mind if we have more than enough instances to make sure that everything.
Well, this is really slick. Thank you so much for coming into Redmond and working with us on this, and thanks for showing it to us on Channel 9.
No, it's great. It's been fun.
And stay tuned. I'm sure we'll have other partners that will want to show us some of those great solutions that are coming on the Windows Azure platform.